Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by his wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me. With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good morning, everyone. And greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again as we open your word, we're asking for the presence of the Holy Spirit to be with us, to give us the guidance, Father, that we need so that we can grow thereby and walk stronger and closer with the Lord Jesus Christ, following your will and your way, Father, for our lives. And once again, we ask this in that sweet, precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
All right. I had a little something else I was going to be adding this morning, but I think we're going to wait until tonight to see if we got a few more here. So I won't be keeping you as long this morning, probably. We're going to be in the last part of Matthew chapter 6. We're still working with the Sermon on the Mount. And the day and time that you and I are living in, we know that we are living well into the days of sorrow, as the scripture calls it, into the end of time, as man will know it. And you know, the Lord's going to be coming one day after his church. We all need to be ready. But it seems like with each passing day, we find more and more walking the opposite direction, walking toward the ways of this world and the way Satan wants them to walk. But we know that there is a revival coming. We know that the one coming now will probably be the last one, before the Lord comes for his church. And there are certain things that we need in order to make heaven our home. God has loved us enough that even though we were not worthy of it, he made a way so we could spend eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ and make heaven our home and not have to spend eternity with Satan and his bunch of demons and all of the evil in that lake of fire. A man's heart is growing harder and harder and farther away from God each and every day. It used to be when we would be around people we knew and all, we could talk to them about the Lord Jesus. They don't even want to talk to you anymore about it. It's saddening. You know, it will lead God's people to sadness and a heavy heart. Because just as he does not want to see any lost, neither do we. That's why we take the time to do what God will ask of us to do. And it's not done for monetary gain. Here in this ministry, no one is paid. What finance does come in here, comes in to help us carry his gospel and to help those around that we can that's in need. All right. We had started Matthew chapter 5, and here we are about four services later, and with the last service, we had just ended with chapter 6, verse 18. So we're going to be picking up here with verse 19, and we'll finish the sixth chapter, and then we will see what the Spirit wants us to do. All right, starting here with 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust does corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your Heavenly Father feedeth them, are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? Why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Wherefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And may the Lord add his blessing unto the reading of this his word. Now as we drop back here now and take a look at these verses to see the truth and the depth of them. Here with 19, he's telling you and I, he says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth where moth and rust does corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. He's letting you and I know that we are not to be out here putting the things that we see out here in the world before him. We don't need the best home in the area or the newest car. We don't need to have a great big bank account. And I'm not saying that money is evil. The money itself is not evil. It's what we do with it and the love of it. Whether we go to putting it before our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ or not. But when we do, then we have made it evil. Now, he's talking here also in verse 20. He says, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust does corrupt, nor thieves do not break through nor steal. Well, what's he really talking about there in that verse? He's talking about things of the Spirit. We are to seek things of the Spirit and of the Spirit world, and not of this world around us out here that has all of this temptation going on. But we are to be looking at God's word and looking to God and the Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom, which is spirit. Because you see, that's where you and I will spend eternity. We will spend eternity in the Spirit. But what we need to understand is, where are we going to spend that eternity? And there's only two choices. You're either going to spend it in heaven with Jesus, or you're going to spend it in hell in that lake of fire with Satan and his bunch of demons and all of those that has turned their back upon the Lord Jesus Christ and went the other way. The Lord God has been good to mankind ever since he created him. And it sure wasn't because we were worthy, because we weren't. From the time of creation, his first couple that he created brought sin upon the earth and brought sin to all mankind. And you know, even though that was done, there was a period of time that God did not impute man's sin against him. A lot of us don't think about that. And a whole lot of us don't even know, because we don't know enough about the Bible to know what the Bible has said. You know, until God gave Moses the law, from the time of Adam to Moses, God didn't impute man's sin to him. Now, he corrected man, and he would guide man, and he'd done a lot of things with and through mankind. But the reason he did not impute that sin unto mankind is because mankind really didn't know what was right and what was wrong until the law. The law is what brought sin upon man, because God, with the law, told us then what was right and what was wrong, what we could do and not do. Man didn't listen to that either, did he? For the most part, they didn't keep the law. They were breaking it. So God made another way. And he did that by sending his own son into the world. Sent him here as a babe. Flesh and blood, just like you and I. To make a way for us to have a way to make heaven our home. And yet, to make a better life for us, even while we are here on this earth. Now, he didn't promise us that when we become a child of God, that everything was going to be easy with no pain. In fact, he told us himself while he was still here on this earth. And in several different ways, he's told us so far as we've come through the Sermon on the Mount that everything was not going to be easy. We would be persecuted by mankind. We'd be lied on, lied to. And you know, we find that the ones that are most likely to do that are family members and friends. We'll give you more trouble than others around. And he goes on here to tell you and I, here in 21, he says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And we know this to be true because we all know a lot of those out here that has about everything actually a man could want. And yet they're not happy. They're still out to get more. And they'll lie to get it. Pardon me a moment. They'll lie to get it. They'll steal to get it. They rob. And they'll even commit murder to continue just to get more and more of the things of this world instead of building their treasures in heaven where nobody can steal. Because you see, those treasures we talk about building in heaven are not material things. They are spiritual things. They are awards that God is fixing for you and I and for all of those that will walk with him and will do his work and be ready when we're called out of this life and into the next. These are things we should be thinking on and thinking about and building that treasure there, because that's where we're going to spend eternity. This life is just a blink of an eye when you put it up beside eternity. Something without end that will never end. It's hard for mankind to actually understand and to believe that since he is here, since the day he was born, he will never die. Oh, yeah, they're dying every day. No, they're not. They're stepping out of this life and stepping into eternity. Because this soul that God has created and put upon this earth will never die. That's his word. Not mine, but his. Now, here in verse 22, he's dealing some more here about the spirit, really. But he's calling it the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thy eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. You see, he's talking about that spirit. Your heart, your inner spirit, what has it been filled with? Is it filled with the word and the knowledge of the kingdom of Almighty God and of the Lord Jesus Christ? Or has it been filled with the things of this world out here? You see, if we've been filled with the spirit of Almighty God, and we're walking in his word and in his kingdom, then we are full of what he calls light. Because you see, the Spirit is light. And that Holy Spirit that comes to live within God's people brings light. And we walk with that light. That's why he tells you and I that as his children, we are a light unto the world. But, you see, there's also another side there. But if thy eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? You see, that evil that will lay within mankind is what he's talking about there. That's the darkness that's in the heart. That's the evil that he is speaking of there. And how much of it are you really walking with that's within you? Most of us don't want to admit that. And you know, I'm finding each and every day more and more that are claiming to be the children of Almighty God, using language, words, and speech they should not be using. And they believe that it's all right. I haven't used it actually as a curse word. And it's even in the Bible. But you were told how to use it also. And when we use it in a remark that is derogatory, we've made it evil. Word itself may not have been evil, really. But it's what we did with it. Just like, you know, I love coffee. Of the morning when I get up, first thing I want is my cup of coffee. Nothing wrong with that. But I can make that cup of coffee wrong. All I have to do is declare that coffee is harmful to me. Right then I made it wrong. So I better leave it alone. Nothing wrong with the coffee. Except I made it wrong. By the way that I was using it. And I'm finding so many more of people that call themselves Christian using this word hell in bad ways. The word itself is not wrong to speak hell if you're talking about the place and what it is. But when you go using it in a derogatory manner and using it against someone, you've made it evil. And that's what they're doing. You find a lot of it today going on in road rage and all. Now, you see, that all goes along with the darkness that lays in the spirit. Now, verse 24. No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. We cannot serve this world out here and God. It won't work. But we have a choice. And right now, we're seeing more and more and more choose to walk the wrong way. They're choosing the ways of this world and the things they want instead of what God has asked of them. And that's them to be. And we're seeing this within our government, even. Our government today don't want the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't want him at all. They're doing everything they can do to get rid of him. And to get rid of you and I, really. If you're a child of God, they want to get rid of his book, his instructions. Make it a hate speech book. And to make you and I domestic terrorists. They're already doing that. And they're doing it right here in our land, not lands overseas, which they are doing it there too. But it's not just there. One time it used to be overseas and it wasn't in our land. But now it's here. And there's a day and time coming to where for us to stand and preach like this is going to mean imprisonment and even death. So it's time that we wake up, and we all need to take down these walls that has been built that we call denominationalism, and come together in unity into one church, the Lord's church. Not any man-made, but the Lord's church. Because that's the only one going to take us to heaven. And we all need to be in unity and together. And we need to be standing up today and speaking out, letting our voices be heard. Or we're going to be losing our freedom very, very shortly. It won't be long. It'll be a lot sooner than what you would think. And then you'll not own nothing. Think about it. We want the best of things now. What are you really going to be like when you actually will not be able to own anything? The government will own it all. They'll tell you where to work, when to work, and they'll give you what they want you to have, which will be very little. Look at our third world countries out here around us that has that type of government. But see, most has not even come to realize that they can see it. The results of it. But we can. We can see what it has done to other places and what it's still doing today in these places that has the socialist government. Now, we know we have a choice. We've got to choose whether we're going to serve God of the ways of this world out here and listen to others tell us what to do when they're trying to tell us to do things that are contrary to the Word of God. And when they're trying to instill us with fear, which is what they're doing right now. I don't know of but very, very few people today that are walking without fear. Very few. Because they've listened to what man has said instead of what God told them. 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? But today, look at humankind. And that's not what the way they're living. A lot of our men wants $3,000 and $4,000 suits. $700-$800 pair of shoes. A $900 wristwatch. When a 14 wristwatch will do the same thing. But they want the very most expensive of things. And look at the way our ladies are dressing today. All for show. Style. And you know, when you realize and stop and think, what was the first clothes God put on mankind? It was an animal skin. Now man himself chose leaves. God dressed him with animal skin, which was done for a couple of reasons. It was put on him to cover him up. But it was the animal skin because that blood had to be shed to cover that sin. Now, but like I say, we look around, we see a lot of different things. And I was at a place this morning at a little store. I had stopped. They had this policeman in there, dressed in his uniform, weapon and all, which is fine. Pretty good sized fellow. Both arms, all the way down, covered in tattoos. Yeah, we're told not to put a mark on the body. Man just doesn't listen. Mankind just will not listen to the Word of God. Well, what's wrong with a tattoo? God said, don't put a mark on the body. But what do you need it for? They're not of any use. They sure not going to do you any good. They're there to be seen. That's exactly what they put them on there for. Now, here in 26, God uses the birds of the air. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Well, most of us don't think so. Because we sure don't act like them, do we? We sure don't depend on the Lord God to help us or to take care of us. And he will, because he has a plan for you. The moment you was put in your mother's womb, and that heartbeat started, God had a plan for you and your life. He's not going to force it on you and make you live it. It's a choice you will have to make as you go along. And most, as God calls and tries to guide them, they don't listen. And they choose to go the opposite way. Now, and I know that for a fact because God's been taking care of me quite a while. Verse 27. Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit to his stature? We can't add nothing within ourselves. Only God can. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. You see, it doesn't matter what we've got on the outside. And used to be, mothers, I can remember the time, when mothers would take sackcloth and make their daughter's dresses out of them and make shirts for the young men. Well, they'd almost lock a woman up today for doing that. For abuse. But there's a lot of things we need to get back to and still looking down on. Now, verse 30. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? When we don't put our trust and all in God and look to him for guidance and seek his will for us and our lives, his words tell us we've got little faith. He goes on with 31 and tells us, therefore take no thought saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? Put that in God's hands. And you'll find, probably, that you've got more to eat than what you need. A lot more drink than what you need. And a whole lot more clothes. I got clothes right now I'm sacking up to give away. Because I've got a whole lot more than I'll ever wear. And it wasn't something I was seeking after either. He goes on now with 32 here and he says, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek. And he's talking about you and I. All of us that are not Jews. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. He knows exactly what you and I need today. He knows what we need physically. He knows what we need spiritually. He knows what we need financially. And he will take care of that if we are living for him and walking according to him and his way. But when we're not, then we're on our own. And without him, we can't do anything. Not the right thing, that is. Oh, yes, we've got people out there that are millionaires today. It's not living right. We know they're not. We know how they live. We see their sins all the time. They steal. They lie. They cheat. They drink. And yet, they've got anything anybody could want. Except they don't have God. And one day they're going to stand before him. And they're going to hear him say, "Depart from me, ye worker of iniquity, because I never knew you." We want to be sure God knows each one of us. And that we're standing in righteousness. Now, that's just what he tells us here in 33. "But seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Letting you and I know that when we will seek him first and we walk in his righteousness, that he'll add all those things to us. He'll give us the way for us to have everything we need. May not be everything we want, but everything we need. And that's what he promised. He promised me, "I'll give you everything you want." He said, I'll supply your needs. Now, we'll close with this next verse. "Take heed, therefore, no thought for the morrow." Don't worry about what's coming tomorrow. "For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself." It'll take care of itself when it gets here. We don't have to worry about it, wonder about it, plan about things. "Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Each day will take care of itself. And walk in God's plans, walk with him, and we'd be a whole lot better off. And if we will start walking with him and letting our voices be heard and stand up as his children today and take our country back, our freedom is going to be gone very, very soon. And we'll have no freedom. The government will own us all. They won't own us all because they ain't going to own this one. Might destroy this one from off of the earth, but they ain't going to own it. Because I am not going to quit and walk away from my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm not going to do it. Let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again as we close your word, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and for the Holy Spirit. Father, we do pray for our land today. this land, Father, that has turned its back and walked so far away from you. And Father, we are standing in need of a revival, a great revival, Father, a revival that will come, that will be filled with the knowledge of your word, be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit and of the Lord Jesus Christ, that will work with us, Father, and help us to share your word and to work with the lost. And Father, to help us to work with the Spirit to turn them from evil and darkness, turn them to Jesus and the light, so that they too, Father, one day will be able to find the Lord Jesus and make heaven their home. Now, Father, your saints, wherever they are in the world, we ask the Spirit to keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. And for Jerusalem, Father, they are standing in all so much trouble today. They're surrounded by enemies on all sides. We're told to watch for that in Revelation. We're seeing it today, Father. Children and old people, by the hundreds of thousands, without enough food to eat, without a place to stay, homeless. Father, we're praying for peace for them. But even more than that, Father, we're praying for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, as their King of Kings and Lord of Lords, so that one day Israel will be known as a land for Jesus. And Father, I've already asked you about our land. Help us, Father, and help the Holy Spirit to lead this nation into repentance and set our government back upon the foundation in which it was founded, in that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, for our prayer list, as each name is called, I pray that the Holy Spirit will touch each one, bringing about the infilling of whatever need they have, whether that need be spiritual, physical, or financial. Kenny Powers, Mark Pavlik, Amy, Amy's husband, Tom, Amy and Tom's young son, Jacob, for Terry Coates, for Dennis Breeden and his wife, Tina, for the brothers in Christ, Aaron Brandenburg. Father, bring them together in unity, in one mind, in one accord, when they have their meetings, and that all being in Jesus Christ. For Pastor Smalls and the Glory Bound Church, for Pastor Luke Bess, the Church of God of Brandenburg, and for Pastor Randy Johnson, for the Meade County General Baptist Church, the pastors there, Pastor Don Hilton, Pastor Alan Thomas, Pastor Tony Galladay. Father, these churches, make them lighthouses to the community in which they stand. These pastors, Father, keep them filled with the Holy Spirit to hold and lead these churches along the pathway of righteousness. Now, for this young man, Will, Father, it's been ordained into the ministry. Father, we pray that the Holy Spirit has been his teacher, and he's the minister you want him to be. Pastor Eric and his wife, Jackie, Father, I'm lifting them up in prayer. You know what their need is. I'm putting them in your care, Father. And that little full gospel church of God there at Akron, Father, not only allow Lighthouse to make it a place of refuge to where the lost walking in darkness can go and find light, and that light being Jesus. For my friends in Pakistan, Pastor Haroon Islam, Pastor Barak Mishai, Pastor Zephyrin Iron, Father, keep them safe. Keep them in health and see to their needs. For the Johnson family, for the Lee family, for the Branson family, for my wife's family, for my family, Father, and for every family that hears this message, I pray that the Holy Spirit works these families. Turn those that are walking in darkness from darkness to light, and that light being Jesus, so that none be lost and all can find their way to heaven. For Jimmy Embry, Sharon Monvillo and her mother, for Sue, for Palin Goodman, for Jim Taylor, for Casey Smith, Kelly Smith, his wife, for Karen, for Henry Craycroft. Father, all of these are standing in need of a healing touch. Touch them in a mighty and great way, Father, so that they know that it was you that brought about their healing and setting them up on the pathway of righteousness, Father. Lead them to a church somewhere that is teaching your word and walking according to your will and your way. Now, Father, this little church, I'm praying for it, Father. I'm praying for it to become the church you want it to be. And use me, Father, in great and mighty ways, not to lift me up, but to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, this is my prayer today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. And God bless. Ah.